Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Today, Stephen is covering Job 3 through 7 as he travels through the Bible. Intense suffering can drive even a godly person like Job to despair. Many of us have been there ourselves. Perhaps you've been in a situation where no one could understand and encourage you. That's why the divinely inspired book of Job is so important to all of us and all suffering people. Stephen called today's lesson, Hitting Rock Bottom.
Chapter 3 in the book of Job now begins the poetic portion, which is going to continue all the way through chapter 42 and verse 6. Chapter 3 also begins three cycles of speeches or dialogue. Each cycle includes speeches by Job and also each of his three friends. Now, you might remember that Job's three friends have sat quietly with him out there in the garbage dump where all that trash is burned to ashes. And they've been out there with him for 7 days and 7 nights. And finally, Job speaks. And I got to tell you, he pours out his heart. As you can imagine, he's got bitter anguish. There's a sense of hopelessness. His despair has brought him to the point that, he no longer wants to be alive. One author described this third chapter of Job as one of the most depressing chapters in all the Bible. I doubt you've ever heard many sermons from this chapter. Very few verses are memorized or remembered for their warmth from Job chapter 3. It may very well be the lowest point in the entire book of Job. Now, Job's suffering has brought him to the bottom of the pit. He's reached what we would call the valley of despair. Now, maybe you've been where Job is here in chapter 3. Maybe you're there right now. Beloved, that's why this book is so important. In fact, it's why God preserved it for us over all these centuries. Anybody struggling with pain and sorrow wants answers. Well, I want you to stick with me through this book because Job's experience will point us all in the right direction. Now, Job's opening speech here through chapter 3, we can summarize it very simply. He considers death to be preferable to his suffering. In fact, he says here in verse 3, let the day perish on which I was born. Down in verse 11, he says, why did I not die at birth, come out from the womb and expire? That isn't exactly the kind of verse you're going to memorize, you know, or put on the dash of your car to read as you drive to work. But maybe you've had the same feelings as Job. Listen to what he says here in verse 26. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. In other words, all I have in life is trouble. And because of that, what's the use in going on with living? Well, now, with that opening speech completed, chapter 4 opens, and we have the first counsel from Eliphaz, the Temanite, who's probably the oldest of Job's friends. And before I get into his speech, I'm mindful of Proverbs 16:24 that says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Well, honeycombed words are the last thing Job's going to hear from Eliphaz. In fact, Eliphaz begins by noting that in the past, Job had corrected and instructed and counseled many people who stumbled in life. And with that, he says here in verse 5, but now it has come to you, and you are impatient. It touches you, and you are dismayed. In other words, you're the one in a fix now, and you got to be willing to take your own medicine. Well, what's the medicine? As far as Eliphaz is concerned, Job is suffering because Job has sinned. Job is simply reaping the consequences of his sinful wrongdoing. In fact, Eliphaz says to Job here in verse 7, Who that was innocent ever perished? Where were the upright cut off? By the way, this is going to be the central argument of all three friends here of Job. Job, you are suffering greatly because you evidently sinned greatly. Now, where's the evidence of this great sin? Eliphaz claims that God gave it to him in a vision here in verses 13 through 21. Well, let me tell you something, beloved. When anybody claims some kind of special revelation from God to try to manage your life or counsel your life or direct your life, you need to lace up your shoes and run. Don't even bother listening. Now, Eliphaz makes two mistakes here in his opening counsel. First, he assumes that sin always brings suffering. Now, sin can bring suffering, but not always, at first anyway. In fact, the psalmist wrote it this way in Psalm 73, "I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." In other words, they are wicked and they're prospering. Their life couldn't have been any better for them. Wicked people can actually prosper in this brief life. Sin and suffering don't always go hand in hand. But because he believes that principle, that sin always produces suffering, Eliphaz makes his second mistake by way of application. He then assumes Job has sinned because he's now suffering. Now, we happen to know the truth. We know from chapter 1 that Job is not suffering because he was ungodly. He's suffering because he was godly. Satan has been allowed to attack this faithful man, not because he was sinning against God, but because he was following God. God already said of Job in chapter 2 and verse 3, "There is none like him on the earth, a blameless man and an upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." That's why Job is suffering. Well, Job replies to Eliphaz now here at the end of his counsel, which has taken a while. In chapter 6, Job responds here, and he sort of apologizes for his despair. He says in verse 3 that the weight of his suffering is heavier than the sand of the sea. He goes on in the next verse to say, "The terrors of God are arrayed against me." In other words, there's no way to escape from what God is doing in his life. Now, beginning here at chapter 6 and verse 14, Job begins to appeal to his friends for compassion. He charges Eliphaz with being disloyal here in verse 15. He points out that his friends are afraid to sympathize with him lest they bring God's judgment on themselves down here in verse 21. He then adds here in verse 29 this pleading request for them to be careful not to jump to conclusions. I mean, imagine this scene, beloved. Here Job sits in the ashes, covered in boils, racked with pain, bereft of his children. He's financially bankrupt. His skin is oozing with running sores. He's battling high fever, aching bones. He finds it difficult to breathe. And he's being told by his friends, "You deserve that. You deserve every bit of that and more." Can you imagine? Well, now here in Job chapter 7, he laments his misery. He indicates that his physical condition is actually getting worse. He says here in verse 5, "My flesh is clothed with worms and dirt. My skin hardens, then breaks out afresh. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and come to their end without hope." And with that, Job basically ignores his friends, and he begins praying out loud and honestly, very emotionally here in verse 16. He says, "I loathe my life. Leave me alone, for my days are a breath." In other words, since my life is so short anyway, why does it have to linger on? God, why don't you let me die? The grave would be so much better than my painful life. There are no answers from God, by the way, at this point. No answers to this suffering, faithful believer. Eliphaz has only added salt to his wounds with false accusations. The truth is, sometimes when we're at our very lowest point in life, when we don't have any answers and we don't seem to have any way out of this, it seems like it's at that point that we don't seem to have very many understanding friends. What do we have today? Well, we have the promise that God will never leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13:5. We have the promise that a faithful God can handle all our anxieties because he cares about us, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. We have the promise that God does hear our prayers, Psalm 69, verse 33. We may not have all the answers, but we do have some promises. In fact, somebody once said that the Bible is not a book of answers. It's a book of promises. Promises that God is always at work on our behalf. So based on the promises in God's Word, when you think God doesn't care, He does. When you feel life is hopeless, it isn't. When you think you know better than God, you don't. When you believe God has not heard your cry, He has. When you, perhaps even today, come to the conclusion that God is not present in your life, He is. When you think that God doesn't love you, He always will. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Well, until our next wisdom journey together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I hope those principles that Stephen just gave you will help you the next time you're suffering. This lesson is called Hitting Rock Bottom. When you leave a rating or review about this podcast, it indicates that you appreciate these lessons, and that helps more people find it. We'd be grateful if you would rate, review, and subscribe to The Wisdom Journey. We have much more to go in the book of Job, and we'll continue next time. Join us.